If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment cause chaos. Use ShipStation instead. From running a business out of your garage to multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating tasks, plus you'll get the best shipping rates from global carriers. Calm the chaos with the shipping software that delivers. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. No, we are not live in studio in person together on this Wednesday morning, but Donnie Wrightside and I are still here for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. DRS, I miss you, my man, but it's still a jam-packed Wednesday. Now we reset. It's the final few days of the NBA regular season. The stretch run to figure out a bunch of seeding in either conference for the NBA postseason on the horizon. The very early goings of this Major League Baseball campaign. And we are just one day away from the Masters, the first major championship in the 2024 golf season. We'll go bright and early to Augusta National up next. A ton to get to here in these 3 hours.
It's great. It's a great confluence of sports here because we end with NCAA action. We put that bow on it today on the show, which is fantastic to get a look forward to what we have next year, what we actually saw this year as well. But the Masters starting off, I say this so many times, Ben, just having the pictures on TV in 4K of the azaleas in bloom and Amen Corner. Hopefully we hear those roars coming down the back nine here on Sunday afternoon with the close Masters. That signifies we are ready for the spring and the summer here. So let's get this show popping.
DRS, very well said, my friend. Very well said. That's what it means. A back nine Sunday at Augusta, where maybe one man in red is charging up the leaderboard and trying to take down the best in the world at this moment. So many storylines, so many narratives to break down, and of course some picks for you around the 2024 Masters as well. Before we do all of that, we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience. Hour number one of a Wednesday, live right here on the Early Line. He is Donnie. I am Ben. You are listening on Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. But we start in the association. Just 4 days left in this NBA regular season as of today. And yesterday, Donnie, 14 games, 28 of the 30 teams around the association in action, including what might be a potential marquee matchup and maybe a preview of the Eastern Conference Finals in Milwaukee. But last night looked a lot different than anything we might see in the playoffs, and some big news for the Bucks as well. First off, a victory, 104-91. Milwaukee wins at home and covers as a short 3.5-point favorite. Boston has already clinched their spot. No Kristaps Porzingis last night for the Seas. Just the third game for Boston as an underdog all year long. So Milwaukee snaps a 4-game losing skid with a 13-point win at home. But Giannis Antetokounmpo leaves the game early with what was feared at the time to might be an Achilles injury. An update this morning, a strained calf. His timetable set to be determined for the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough scene here because you can't lose Giannis, even if it's for the first round. They might not make it through the first round because typically in the past, we set up that NBA season as it winds down. It's sort of an auto victory. First seed, second seed, easy wins over an 8 and a 7 seed. You're not getting those true 8 and 7 seeds this year. So if Giannis were to be out in that first round, you're not going to get a Bobcats matchup in the past, right? You're actually going to get a really good Philadelphia 76ers team or a Miami Heat team that's going to be rounding into form. Devastating news, but a nice win to sort of stop that skid for Milwaukee. I actually thought the Celtics were the play last night because you just can't trust them. But good win for the Bucks. Yeah. Terrible result if it looks like Giannis is out for any extended period of time.
So Shams Charania of FanDuel TV did say a timetable of 1 to 2 weeks, but with calf injuries, it's a little bit tricky to pin down. We will update anything around Giannis Antetokounmpo as that becomes available. Now we go to a marquee matchup out in Los Angeles, a potential play-in preview where Golden State got the better of LA, the Lakers without Anthony Davis last night. As a team, the Warriors made 26 threes. They were 26 of 41 from deep last night. They score 134 points, and the Dubs win outright as a two-point underdog on the road in L.A.
Hey, a good win by the Warriors here. See if they can usurp, you know, the Lakers and move ahead. But how about this? Within a half game of each other, with only a few games to play, to say the least. But you know what the interesting part is? These two teams are probably going to match up in a game next week, Ben, that is going to be the winner moves on, the loser goes home between the Warriors and the Lakers. We didn't like this play-in, you know, games a couple years ago. And even LeBron James said, this is kind of ridiculous here. Well, it saves them with a chance to get into the playoffs. But who's not going to watch that? The ratings would be awesome for Warriors-Lakers.
Last night, Steph hit 6 threes. Klay hit 5 threes. Draymond Green made 5 triples in the game as well. 63.4% was the specific field goal percentage from 3 for Golden State. That is the best 3-point shooting percentage in a game in NBA history. Now an interesting game out in Phoenix. The Suns close as a 9.5-point home favorite against the LA Clippers, who had no Kawhi Leonard, no James Harden last night in the Valley. The Suns were at full health. All three members of the Big Three, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker, did start the game, and the Suns were down 35-4. In the opening quarter. They were down by 31 points in the first quarter. That's almost unheard of. And Phoenix continues to stumble in games they need to win. The Clippers go on the road and pull off the upset outright as a 9.5-point underdog, winning by 13.
Yeah, we weren't saying that the Clippers were going to wave the white flag in this game, but the odds makers certainly saw what was taking place and close to a double-digit favorite for Phoenix, and they got blasted. This game, I believe, was like 35-4 at one point in the first quarter. The game was over right away. But this is also what we talk about, Ben, where I tell you every day, I'm in on the Suns, I'm out on the Suns. I'm in on the Suns, I'm out on the Suns. You know what we think about today? We're out on the Suns. Unbelievable, these type of games you can have. You're supposed to win that game going away last night against the Clippers, and he got blasted at home. Tough scene.
Out, done, donezo, Finn, see you next year. The Suns now fall into the 7th spot, into the play-in tournament, because they couldn't at least win a game outright as a 9.5-point favorite. Ridiculous. Career high for Anthony Edwards last night in Minneapolis to lead the Timberwolves to a victory over the Washington Wizards. 51 points for the Ant-Man. A big game over the Wiz. They don't cover as a double-digit favorite. However, the Timberwolves do keep pace, still tied with Denver atop the Western Conference in a battle for that number one overall seed.
I don't think I've been as locked into the NBA season as I am with a couple games left to play, Ben. Typically, we're just waiting for the playoffs to get here, fast forward the final couple games. Every single game, your teams are lining up with seed advantages and disadvantages here. But also, Anthony Edwards, 51 points, superstar.
Some other news around MLB. Jackson Holliday, the son of Matt Holliday, the former Cardinal and longtime MLBer, the number one prospect in the sport, called up by the Baltimore Orioles to join a young and fun team in Baltimore.
I like that, man. Bring these guys up as soon as you can. Don't worry about super free agency in 3 years. If you have a good player on a good team, bring them up. Good job.
Absolutely so. The day after the college basketball season officially closes, some big news. As expected, Kentucky freshman Rob Dillingham has declared for the NBA draft. And Tara Vanderveer, the all-time winningest head coach of Stanford women's basketball, 1,216 victories, the most ever for a Division I college basketball coach, announces her retirement. More on the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can start to see it now. The brightest greens you have ever seen. The nicest pinks you have ever seen as well, with the azaleas in full bloom at Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, which is where we go live right here on this Wednesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Bright and early, Keith Stewart joins the show to preview the 2024 Masters. One day away, Keith, from the first major championship of this year in the world of golf. And as Donnie said at the start of the show, it feels like hope springs eternal when you turn on your TV and you see things happening at Augusta. Thank you for joining us bright and early in Augusta, Georgia. We appreciate your time here to look forward to the Masters.
Guys, welcome to Masters Wednesday. The tee times are out. The azaleas are in full bloom. Let's roll this morning. Come on.
The par three contest today as well, but don't win it if you want to win a green jacket come Sunday. So, Keith, let's start with the overall outright odds. And, of course, the story at the very top is Scottie Scheffler. Plus 450, the outright price for Scottie to win his second green jacket in the last 3 years. He is half the price and then some of every other golfer in the field at Augusta National. We'll get to the overall outright odds and where you think value might be, but let's start with Scottie Scheffler. Do you expect his dominance this year on the PGA Tour to continue into the first major championship of the season?
Oh, there is no doubt that come Sunday, he will be part of the conversation on the back nine when Jim Nantz goes into all of his eloquence and glory, describing the activity that's taking place on those back nine par fives, amen corner. Scottie will be there. Scottie is playing way too good. And if indeed he has figured out the putter, people will probably be chasing him. The one thing we do have going for us, though, is that no betting favorite has won the Masters since Tiger and that famous chip-in in 2005. So, like you said in the opening, hope does spring eternal for that field.
Keith, let's talk about the golf course itself. Now, it's played on the same course every single year, which is why we love the Masters. We know what to expect, about 7,500 yards here. But it used to be back in the past, like when Tiger was crushing this course, they Tiger-proof it. Are there any changes over the past couple years at Augusta that are making a difference here in this tournament, or any changes over the past 6 months that we might be able to look forward to?
Well, they did make one change this year. Pink Dogwood, the second hole, which is a par five, played easiest against par last year and of the 18 holes. So they added 10 yards to it. But more importantly, they moved the tee box back into the left, which brings, there's a cross bunker at the edge of that dogleg on the par five that a lot of players were just blowing it over, or it wasn't necessarily as much in play to what they were looking at from off the tee. So that's one slight change that they've made. And they've made a number of changes over the last 3 years. Probably the biggest change that you guys and the bettors want to know about this year is that the way that the golf course is playing, the course conditions, it is very firm out there. It is fast. The greens almost have a brownish tinge to them. It's almost like they're sucking all the water out of this because they know what weather's coming. And I know we'll get to that in a second, but there's some precipitation on the horizon, and what they're doing to the golf course right now is vastly different than what we've seen for the last, like, probably two of the last 3 years. We've had wet, cold springs down here at Augusta, and we had wet, cold Masters as well.
So, Keith, that's a really good point. As we go to the weather forecast for this weekend in Augusta, Georgia, it is springtime, and we love to look out at the bright sunshine at Augusta, but oftentimes there is that rain and wet still in early-ish April here at the Masters. What is the weather forecast for this weekend for the 2024 Masters?
Well, we really need to pay attention to this, Ben, and it's super important. Right now, as we look at all the first-round leader markets going into Thursday, the weather event that we expect is not coming over the weekend. In fact, rounds 2, 3, and 4, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, look absolutely fantastic. Weather we haven't seen even before the 2019 Tigers fifth green jacket Masters. I mean, a lot of these have been plagued by weather issues. But Thursday morning early, about 3 a.m., 4 a.m. through about 2 p.m. tomorrow, we're expecting about an inch of rain as a front moves through the Augusta, Georgia area. And you have to pay attention to that because, in my opinion, if that weather holds true, then those guys going out later in the day on Thursday are going to get a soft golf course. It will be windy, but it'll be softer. And then they're going to get to play right away the next morning when it will be its softest again in that PM AM wave versus the guys that will be playing in the rain and miserable conditions in the AM. And then they'll go out
Maybe they don't even get a chance to play all of their holes on Friday evening, but Friday looks really windy in the afternoon, and it'll start to dry out. It'll make the golf course much more complicated to play. So overall, you got to pay attention to it, but less than 24 hours away, it looks like that rain's coming 4 a.m. to 2 p.m. And, you know, look out tomorrow morning if you're Jack, Tom Watson, and Gary Player. I guess, you know, bring your rain jacket, boys.
Here we go. Some weather implications in the forecast. But before we get to the top of the leaderboard, the biggest name in golf, Tiger Woods, is out there seemingly healthy. The tee times have come out. And also, Keith, on social media, some people upset that Tiger might have gotten a bad draw for himself due to going out later and then playing earlier on a Friday. Give us the update on Tiger Woods and what we can anticipate this week at the Masters.
Guys, we haven't seen Tiger since the Genesis, which we know, we all know, it's well documented. He didn't complete the tournament, although I felt like when I was out there in L.A., he was walking much better than we had seen at any time in 2023. He does look like he's in good spirits. The game is sharp. The practice holes that I've seen him play live, yeah, I mean, he looks very good. He looks like somebody who has won five green jackets. Does he have the stamina to go for a sixth? I don't know, but he was very positive in the press room the other day, just sitting up there getting asked questions. Do you think you can do this again? And there's no doubt, you know, he's trying to manifest something. But overall, he has a chance to break the cuts made record. And I think that's something that he certainly wants to do. And he certainly wants to be around for the weekend. He hasn't played four rounds competitively since that 2023 Genesis over a year ago. So right now everyone is very optimistic for him. And I think maybe the organizers were trying to keep him out of the rain. I'm not sure. His body would definitely benefit from an AM PM where he has more time to recover.
And it is really interesting as well, to Keith's point about the weather and the conditions that you can expect late Thursday into early Friday, as we look at the round one leaderboard and those odds to have the best opening 18 holes at Augusta National. Scotty is the favorite, as to be expected, but all of these numbers are much longer. 12-1 on Scotty Scheffler, John Rahm and Rory McIlroy at 18-1. Keith, we'll get your thoughts on who gets off to a good start here in just a moment, but we need some early leans here on the early line. Those guys right there to be the round one leader, much like the leaderboard in terms of the odds outright at Augusta. Rory trying to complete the career Grand Slam, has never won a green jacket. John Rahm is the reigning champion, but now a member of the LIV Golf Series. So with all the storylines, with all of the narratives, outside of Scotty, who do you expect to have a good week at Augusta?
Well, my early leans on the early lines, Ben, for all of us bettors, I love the LIV bias. Because the fact that they have John Rahm behind Rory McIlroy, the way that they've both played already in Q1 this year, I love Rahm to defend this year. And everyone's going to say, oh, Keith, you know, that hasn't happened since Tiger Woods and Nick Faldo. Like, trust me, guys, this can happen again. He is the strokes gain leader on property of anybody in the field. He's the scoring average leader of anyone on the property in the field. In seven trips to the Augusta, he's got five top tens. And, of course, he owns the green jacket. And if nothing else, this guy seems extremely motivated about what's going on. You want to go further down the board? Everybody loves a good Augusta bomb. I'm favoring Shane Lowry as my other early lean for you guys. Plus 5,500. Shane's coming in. When he finished third in 2022, right, he came in with three top 20s in Florida. Right now, coming in 2024, he did the same thing again. He was fourth at Cognizant, third at API, top 20 at the Players. Watch out for Shane Lowry in the middle of the board.
Shane Lowry right now, plus 360 for a top 10 price as well. Doesn't just need to be the outright odds, but if they're going to have a good week, be in contention by the back nine on Sunday, you can cash a variety of tickets. Keith Stewart, we appreciate the time. Enjoy this week at Augusta National Golf Club there for the 2024 Masters. We go around the association after a busy Tuesday night in the NBA. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NBA regular season comes to a close on Sunday. That's it. 82 games for all 30 teams. Done. and that means the postseason very much on the horizon. Now, we know the 10 teams that will play in the postseason in each conference, the 10 out east, the 10 in the west. But to figure out the seed lines, that remains to be seen. Mm. Will your favorite team be in the play-in tournament, or will they be one of the top six already and automatically into the playoffs? A big game last night and a big Tuesday night around the association. 28 teams of the 30, 14 games on a Tuesday night after the NBA took a night off on Monday to let college basketball have its shine. So we got a lot to get to here on this Wednesday on the early line around the association. We start out in Los Angeles. Lakers, Suns, Anthony Davis against the Warriors. And Golden State lit it up from deep. They hit last night 26 threes, 26 triples as a team. Golden State went 26 of 41 from deep. That is 63.4% from three. The best three-point field goal shooting percentage in a NBA game in the history of the association, as the Warriors win 134-120 outright as a two-point underdog on the road in Los Angeles.
Monster game by the Warriors. Let's get this precedent set here, Ben. You don't want to be number 10. It's nice to be 10 because you're in the playoffs, but that's the last seed you want to be because you get the unfair disadvantage of, okay, one game playoff and it's not even on your home court. So at least you're in the ninth seed here. You get the home court advantage in game number one of that elimination. But at least if you can get yourself into that seven or eight seed, which possibly still possible for the Warriors and or Lakers, that can help you out because you can lose that first game and still advance technically to the second round of the play-in and get a win and move on. That's the crazy part about it because quite frankly, we might have been getting a preview last night of what we would see. A Lakers home game versus the Warriors, and if the Warriors win, they move on. Quite frankly, they would have liked the playoffs to already begin because it means they would be moving on here with a chance to make it in to that top eight. But having said that last night, look, you're not going to beat teams that are going to shoot 60% from three-point range with volume. Right. I don't care what team you are, how effective you are on offense. If you're not matching that tempo at the three-point line and the accuracy, you're not going to win. 134 points for the Warriors. And it's a tough scene for the Lakers because we know how big this game was, and we weren't anticipating Anthony Davis missing this game. It came later in the afternoon. That's what happens. Miss one of your superstar players in a big game. The other team's locked and loaded like the Warriors were. You come away with an easy victory. Monster win by the Warriors, and also get the binoculars out, man. So many things to take a look at before we get to Sunday's finale in the NBA. I love to watch it play out, and it's so fun to talk about.
Steph was a perfect 6 of 6 from three-point range last night. Klay back into the starting lineup. His fellow Splash brother, 5 of 10. If Draymond Green is going 5 of 7 from deep, you know it's going to be a historic three-point shooting night for the Warriors. That's what he did. Brandon Podziemski off the bench, the rookie, a perfect 3 of 3 from 3 as well. 26 made triples last night for Golden State. LeBron scored 33. The Lakers didn't have AD out there. They gave it a run. But as Donnie said, 41 attempted threes and you shoot better than 63%. There's very little any NBA team is going to be able to do. So Golden State now has won 7 of their last 8 games. One of the better underdogs in the NBA all year long. 17-10-1 against the spread. The Lakers have gone over in 7 of their previous 10 games. We'll look at where things stand in the Western Conference standings around that play-in tournament spots in just a moment. But we'll paint the path of what it will mean here in the final 5 days of this NBA regular season. Because last night, when you looked up and down the slate and you saw Phoenix versus LA, the Suns hosting the Clippers, you're thinking, ooh, that could be a potential postseason matchup. But not in the way it was constructed. The Clippers did not have Kawhi Leonard nor James Harden last night on the road in the Valley. And the Suns had all of the big three healthy and out there and booked nearly as a double-digit home favorite. So Phoenix should win a game that they desperately needed to win to stay above that sixth spot in the Western Conference standings. They did not do so. In fact, the shorthanded Clippers, who still had Paul George and Russell Westbrook, took a 31-point lead in the first quarter. They led 35-4 on the road in the opening 12 minutes. And the Clippers hold on 105-92 to win outright as a 9.5-point dog in Phoenix. Donnie, so many times we have said this is a significant game for the Suns. And the deck fell their way last night to just win outright, to position themselves above and outside of that play-in tournament line of demarcation, and they squander an opportunity once more.
It's crazy because this is the team that we're talking about all season long, maybe catching lightning in a bottle, get the big three healthy in the playoffs. Everything should settle down. Then we get games last night against the Clippers. Ben, let's rewind. I don't know, 2.5 weeks ago. If you're the Suns and you're the Clippers and you're looking at your schedule, you're saying to yourself for the Suns, like, hey, man, that's going to be a big game here. We better be ready for that one because it's going to mean a lot in the standings for both us and the Clippers. You finally get to that game and the Clippers are like, we'll play to see what happens here, but probably it's not going to look too good. Yeah. And the odds makers appropriately said, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a blowout tonight for Phoenix. And that's massive because they try to get out of the play-in round and into that top six here. The Clippers come into this game. It was supposed to be 37-10 first quarter for the Phoenix Suns, Ben, not the Los Angeles Clippers in this game. They got wiped off the court right away and then lost the second quarter by 6 points. So even though if you would have told me before the game, not going to tell you anything about this game, but Phoenix is going to outscore the Clippers 35-18 in the third quarter, you'd say, all right, yeah, that's what's supposed to happen. Phoenix probably blasted them by 30 points because the Clippers weren't even trying, let alone the Suns don't need to get to 100 points and get beat by double digits as close to double-digit favorites. You can't bet the Phoenix Suns here, Ben, moving forward. I'm out. Nope. And then 2 days later, when they jump into the top six, I'm back in again. I can't help myself on the Suns. I don't know what to do anymore.
Maybe we'll be back in on Phoenix after tonight. The two teams flip venues. They go to Los Angeles. They play each other. The Suns still booked as a 3.5-point road favorite. I have shared I've had a Suns ticket to win the NBA championship after the All-Star break. The Big Three was out there. They were starting to look like the team we all expected to be one of the front runners before the year got underway. Plus 850 for Phoenix to win the West. Same number as this time yesterday, but you don't feel nearly as confident. And Los Angeles was the worst underdog in terms of a cover percentage in the NBA all year long. Just 5-10 against the spread entering last night. And without Kawhi and without James Harden, they went outright as a 9.5-point dog. Now we get to the other game in the Western Conference, incredibly impactful for Western Conference standings and mainly around that play-in tournament conversation. Sacramento on the road in Oklahoma City. The Thunder have SGA back in the lineup for the first time in this month of April, and he goes off for 40. Oklahoma City wins at home and covers as a 5.5-point favorite, 112-105 against the Sacramento Kings. As you read the box score, of course, it was huge to have SGA back in the lineup. He has 40 points. De'Aaron Fox did play last night for Sacramento. He had 33, but mainly DRS. Domantas Sabonis, only 8 points last night. Did grab 13 boards. His double-double streak of 61 consecutive games comes to a close.
Yeah, tough scene. This was a big game for both parties involved here as Oklahoma City still trying to find their way and fight to see if they can get that number one overall seed. But the Kings on the road, valiant effort just wasn't enough. And thank goodness, as you're right, SGA comes back here. We expect a 30-point outpouring. He got 40 in a team that absolutely needed it here. But the big story of the night is not actually improving the seed line, getting to number one, or staying out of the play-in round. It is Domantas Sabonis, who is a double-double machine, let alone a triple-double machine. And you're looking at saying, like, well, where did the double-double not fail here? The fact that he got 8 points is actually kind of shocking point, right? Because you usually figure he'd get like 20 and 9, like, oh, just missed out on that at that point. So it's interesting that he had a minus 18 in that game, which led in a bad way the Sacramento Kings. But nice win for Oklahoma City moving forward. Let's see if they get that top seed. But good seeing SGA back on the court and producing the way we've always seen it.
So Oklahoma City still a game behind both Denver and Minnesota for that top spot. The T-Wolves win at home behind Anthony Edwards' career night. He had 51 points. The Nuggets won on the road in Salt Lake. Denver and Minnesota tonight at altitude in the Mile High City. We will preview that game a little bit later on. OKC DRS was one of the best cover teams for a majority of this NBA regular season. Only four covers, though, since the month of March began, despite winning winning 5 of their last 10 entering last night. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander back for the first time in April, and the Thunder cover a number behind a 40-point performance. Now we look at where things stand in the Western Conference. The Mavericks continue to be one of the hottest teams in the NBA. They go on the road last night to Charlotte, a game they were favored by nearly 14 points. They win by 26, 130-104. Dallas has won 15 of its last 17 games. I say that because they clinch a playoff spot. That means 1 through 5 in the NBA's Western Conference have all clinched a playoff spot at the bare minimum. We have to figure out exactly where everybody will be in terms of seeding. 6 through 10, a different story. These 5 teams on our screen, the Phoenix Suns, because of their second consecutive loss, fall into the 7th spot. Sacramento in 8, LA in 9, Golden State in 10. New Orleans a game advantage over the Suns, DRS. But all 5 teams on your screen right now, separated by only 3 games in total.
I love it. And also, you're taking, let's just say, forget about how it finishes, Ben. Right? Let's just say that it's the exact same order. We just put it up on the screen here. Do you see that play-in tournament here, that play-in rounds? The Phoenix Suns, Sacramento Kings, Lakers, and the Warriors? Heck, those rounds might get better ratings than even the first true round of the NBA playoffs. It's good. And I always say this, Ben. Add more teams into playoffs. It always works out. NCAA tournament, you want to raise that limit? Fantastic.
No,
college football playoffs,
no,
you want to raise that limit?
No.
Hockey, basketball. Look, raise it in hockey to get the Flyers in. Raise it. Raise the roof. Come on.
We're back next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A very busy Tuesday night around the association. We continue our recap here in this opening hour of a Wednesday Live on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Now to the Eastern Conference, a potential conference finals matchup last night in Milwaukee, but not with the luster you would expect, maybe down the home stretch of a regular season looking forward to the playoffs. Why? Because Boston is just so much better than every other team around the NBA. The only one to get to 60 wins, and they have 62. So they're not at full force in terms of their attempts to do anything with motivation here down the stretch. They've already clinched the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. They entered last night with a 15-game advantage over the Milwaukee Bucks. The Celtics have already clinched the NBA's best record. They will have home court advantage through the entirety of the postseason. Last night on the road in Milwaukee, the Seas were booked as a dog for just the third time this year, for the first time since January 11th, also on the road inside the Pfizer Forum against Milwaukee. The Bucks also entered, losing 4 consecutive games, 3 of the previous 4 outright as a double-digit favorite. So they needed some help, and Milwaukee got that. The Bucks do win and cover. But with that being said, it was not all optimistic for Milwaukee last night. 104-91, the final. But Giannis Antetokounmpo exited the game early. It was feared maybe something with his left Achilles tendon. It is not an Achilles injury, but a calf strain. His timetable out for the next week or two, but it's very uncertain when it comes to calf injuries, DRS. So a big win for the Bucks to snap a 4-game skid, but maybe in the bigger picture conversation, worry around Giannis.
Yeah, there should be worry about Giannis, too, because it is a calf injury, you're right, and a guy that's built on explosion, which means jumping at the rim multiple times a night and try to get dunks off and rebounds, yeah, that could pop up at any point, because we might get the clear, like, okay, he seems fine, and you re-injure that thing right away, it's going to be a long way down. But if we're getting a diagnosis where we don't think it's all that bad and he should be okay for the first round, that's the best news possible, because sometimes these calf injuries could last 3 and 4 weeks, and that might take you through, okay, maybe you can survive the first round. But as we talked about for the Bucks, you're not getting a normal first round opponent where you don't need your best player. You're going to get a very good basketball team right out of the jump here. So Giannis being healthy certainly is going to have an impact. But that's a good win for the Bucks last night, 104-91. Midway through the afternoon at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Celtics were a favorite here by as many as 2 to 2.5 points. And I actually thought the Celtics were the way to go. Not because I thought the Bucks had to win and eventually on your home court, you got to take a stand, which they ended up doing. But it was just that trust factor that we talked so many times about the Phoenix Suns. Like, McMahon. You get a good performance, bad performance. But with Doc Rivers, it seems like more bad performances than good performances. So the fact that you won by double digit against the Celtics, which, yes, Porzingis didn't play, but you still had Tatum, right, Holiday, and Brown in the game, legitimate contenders here for the Celtics that could beat anybody anywhere at any time. They weren't able to show up. It was a big first quarter by Milwaukee, 37-21, that had them going. But I know the Bucks like that win. But the bigger picture is, what are we going to get out of Giannis and this MRI? Hopefully it comes back clean. Yeah. I don't think that's going to be the case, but we don't want to see that, like, oh boy, this is a grade three or something worse where he can't play for at least a month's time. We'll find out a little bit later today, probably.
Of course, it was Giannis who was injured last year in the opening game of the opening round against Miami. Milwaukee was the one seed. They got bounced by the Heat, the eighth seed, in only five games. It is really fascinating to look at the storylines entering yesterday and where things stand less than 24 hours later. Because Donnie's right. When we broke down this game on the early line yesterday, and for a good majority of Tuesday afternoon, Boston was a two-and-a-half-point road favorite against the Bucks. Then they end as an underdog for just the third time all year. Now 1-2 against the spread as a dog. Milwaukee entered losing four straight, six of their last seven, and you would think motivation was all Milwaukee needed. They needed to end the skid. They were only a game in front of Orlando entering yesterday's NBA slate for that number two seed in the Eastern Conference. They get the win, all five starters, including Giannis, who exited about midway through that third quarter, do score in double figures, led by Pat Bev, who had 20 points and 10 rebounds. Milwaukee's leading scorer, Patrick Beverly, not necessarily words we thought we would utter yesterday, but he does have a team-high 20 points. And the Celtics actually entered winners of five straight games, despite not needing any more wins this year. It is rather fascinating to see where things go in this final five-day stretch of the NBA regular season. Game last night inside the United Center in Chicago. Before the game, Billy Donovan, Bulls head coach, was asked about any interest he might have in the Kentucky head job. He said, "I have not received a call from Kentucky. I am committed to Chicago." Now, you might think he's staying with the Bulls next year. A lot can happen this offseason into the summer months. Now to the actual game. The New York Knicks booked as a five-point road favorite against a Bulls team firmly into one of those two play-in spots in the Eastern Conference, and more than likely in the 9-10 game. It's just figuring out Chicago versus Atlanta who has home floor advantage. Well, the New York Knicks go on the road for a game they needed to win for their postseason positioning, and they do just that. 128-117. The Knicks do cover as a five-point road favorite.
I'm very good at reading minds and also being a translator, Ben. So what Billy Donovan actually said is, when he said, "I didn't receive a call from the Kentucky," that meant his agent and his representatives were fielding those calls all day long to gauge his interest. And when he says, "I am committed to the Chicago Bulls," what is he going to say? There's a couple games left and we're in the playoffs. Yeah, I'd like to leave right now for Kentucky. Who knows if he's going to take that job, but make no mistake about it. That's on his mind, and his representatives have been contacting. Having said that, the New York Knicks go on the road. That's a good win for them last night. And also, OG Anunoby, in the previous game, playing a lot of minutes, Ben, only scoring 4 points, plays 35 minutes, 10 of 18 from the floor, 24 points and a plus 12 here. Jalen Brunson has been absolutely sensational this year. 13 of 24, 7 of 12 from the three-point line, and 12 of 12 shooting free throws for 45 points on the road. Our guy Tay-Tay out here, hey, 8 of 15, which probably meant he went 8 of 15 from the three-point line. He only went 3 of 9 here, but still chipped in with 21 points. It is a shame that Randall is not going to see the playoffs, because this is one of those teams you wanted to keep an eye on. But my goodness, if you're getting these efforts on a night-to-night basis by Jalen Brunson, you also take a look at, boy, how did Dallas let him get away? Well, quite frankly, he wanted to go to New York. His dad was involved, and you can't fault him here. But guys that go to New York and play on the biggest stage, some can't handle it. Jalen Brunson looks like he's game for that. So I'm excited to watch the Knicks into the playoffs. Nice win for them, but my biggest takeaway is, Billy Donovan, come on now. You know Big Blue Nation contacted you. It's okay to be coy now. We'll see about a week when you're knocked out of the playoffs if they really contacted you or not.
So this four-game run for Jalen Brunson is something. The Knicks have won three of the four games. The only loss actually on Friday in Chicago against the Bulls. But he's had 35-11. That was against Sacramento. 35-11 even in the loss to Chicago. 43-8 as they won outright as a dog in Milwaukee on Sunday. And then 45-8 last night against the Chicago Bulls. Truly outstanding stuff. Jalen Brunson understanding he needs to be that lead dog for the New York Knicks, and they do just that. Also, one of my favorite phenomenons is happening right now for the Knickerbockers, a team that under Tom Thibodeau is known for grinding you out, defensive-style basketball, first and foremost. Yesterday's total, 212 and a hook. It goes way over. The Knicks have now gone over in 8 of their last 9 games, 10 of their last 12. This 12-game span to about the middle of March, from the start of 2024 until that middle point of March, the Knicks played an under in 31 of 35 games to begin this calendar year, now over in 10 of their previous 12. Big win for New York. We correlate everything to the standings here in this final week of the regular season. The Knicks move up to the 3 spot in the Eastern Conference standings as Orlando was on the road yesterday and got knocked off in Houston. The Rockets winning outright 118-106. The Magic were a 2.5-point underdog, and although the Rockets gave us a thrill, could they push the Warriors for that 10th and final spot in the play-in tournament? They entered last night having lost 5 straight games, and Orlando had won 4 of its last 5, covering in 3 of those 4 wins, not last night. The Rockets went outright at home by 12 as a 2.5-point dog.
Yeah, most of the teams here in the Eastern Conference holding serve on playoff positioning. We talk about the Boston Celtics already clear of everybody else, but the Bucks winning, the Knicks winning, and then you take a look at the Pacers with a huge game here to stay in that 6th spot, but also you took a look at the Orlando Magic. It's one of those teams I think teams are eyeing up if they get to the playoffs, and we don't knock the Orlando Magic. They're 46-33. They've been very good, but it feels like one of those teams where maybe they're a year ahead of their time where we can actually trust them when they move forward. So tough loss for the Orlando Magic. You're going to lose sometimes. And also, when you're taking a look at making that playoff surge, you said like the 4 to 5 games before that covering, they're 5-5 in the last 10. Not playing great basketball, but they're hoping that they can hold down and maybe get that 3 seed to sort of improve that positioning here. We'll see where Orlando goes. Right. But to me, I'm not looking at them, I should say, as a huge threat even in round 1. I'd be surprised if they get through round 1, but maybe they can surprise me.
So the Knicks have moved up. They're in that 3 seed. Orlando 4, but they have the same exact record as the Cleveland Cavaliers, 46-33. Both Orlando and Cleveland, just 3 games left in this NBA regular season. But the Magic at the moment would have home floor advantage in that opening round playoff series, the 4-5 matchup against the Cavaliers. But Orlando to win the Eastern Conference, 65-1. Cleveland to win the Eastern Conference crown, 12-1 to make Donnie's points through the odds. Interesting game last night in Atlanta between 2 teams right now in play-in tournament spots. We go to double overtime. Miami, who closed as a 3.5-point favorite, does escape in double OT against the Hawks. They win 117-111. Over Atlanta. Game goes over 220. Because we get to double overtime, the Hawks have been playing pretty good basketball as of late. Again, they've already clinched a play-in tournament spot. They're in the 9-10 split right now against Chicago. Miami trying to get out of that Eastern Conference play-in tournament, but a half game behind Philadelphia, and the Sixers a full game behind Indiana, who holds on to that 6th spot. But a win that Miami needed in double overtime. They win by 6 and cover.
Yeah, what do you want to see out of this game? Jimmy Butler being healthy, played 44 minutes in that double overtime game, 7 of 14 from the floor, 25 points. But also, Tyler Hero has missed a lot of time this year. If he can give you 48 minutes, 13 of 25 from the field and 33 points and led the team with a plus 15, that's a team to watch out for. Eric Spoelstra, maybe, if not the best coach in the NBA, he knows he's going to have that team ready as long as they're healthy heading into the playoffs. Bam Adebayo in the starting lineup, along with Jimmy Butler, and then, of course, Tyler Hero. if you can get some of those other players back in that lineup, which includes Terry Rozier, this is one of those teams that you're going to have to watch out for. That's a good win for the Heat. As a Sixers fan myself, hoping the Heat would have lost that basketball game to sort of get another one leg up here. But again, two games left in the regular season. As we get down the stretch, every game means something. That's a good win for the Miami Heat over the Atlanta Hawks yesterday. No doubt about it. They needed that, and they got it.
No Trae Young for the last few weeks for Atlanta, but back at practice, very good news for the Hawks as the play-in tournament is next week. Atlanta, a game behind Chicago. They could battle it out in these final 5 days to see who will have home floor advantage for that 9-10 play-in tournament game. DeJounte Murray doing all he can, 29-13-13 for a triple-double last night. The Hawks had won 6 of their last 9 entering a loss yesterday. Philly at home, though, has won 6 straight, 120-102 over Detroit. Joel Embiid, 37 points, 11 boards, 8 dimes. And Indiana, a big win on the road against the Raptors. Plenty more around the association later on. We round out the opening hour now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The numbers are in for our national championship games to end off the NCAA tournaments this college basketball season. We shared the historic number, 18.7 mil, for Iowa and South Carolina on Sunday afternoon. When you add in some Nielsen ratings as well, official number at close, 18.9 million. We shared how historic that is, the most watched basketball game since 2019. But then we waited for what the TV audience was for Purdue and UConn's Monday night national championship game that many begrudged for starting at 9:20 p.m. Eastern time. Only 14.8 million. In the first time, and for the first time, the women's national championship game outdraws the men's title matchup, and not just by a couple of thousand, by a couple of million, more than 4 million people in terms of what the women had over the men's national title game. Donnie Wrightside, take your moment in the sun.
Now look, it's simple. If you just make me commissioner, fans will have more fun, the players will make more money, and so will the teams themselves individually and also NCAA as an organization. The fact that we had a 9:20 start, we all saw this coming. And Ben, this wasn't one of those situations where it was two Cinderellas that nobody cared about that played on a Monday night and the ratings were going to be down regardless. Like we talked about the World Series last year. Oh no, the Phillies got knocked out, nobody's going to watch. And they didn't. You want compelling matchups, you had that. You had one of the best matchups, the most anticipated matchups in maybe the past 20 years in college basketball that was going to take place with a superstar team in UConn versus the ultimate college superstar in Zach Edey. How would that go down? You know how it went down? Most people weren't able to watch it. If that game, Ben, was moved up to 7 p.m., it would have blew the numbers out of the water for the women's game with 20 million plus, no doubt about it. And if you move this game to the weekend and played it identically at the same time that the women's game did, just to say the women did play 3 o'clock and you put that game on, we're probably looking at 25 million plus people watching that game and we could all enjoy it. Congratulations, NCAA. Nobody saw your title game because you did it to yourself here. Fantastic.
So I will have some comments about this very thing on the other side of the break when hour number 2 starts in less than a minute.